Greed, hate, jealousy, revenge. These are the poisonous seeds of murder.
Yes, murder. From the thrill-packed pages of Agatha Christie's unforgettable stories of corpses, clues, and crime, we bring you, complete with bowler hat and brave mustache, your favorite detective, Hercule Poirot. Are you buying only what you need these days? The way you manage your wartime income vitally affects the welfare of the whole nation. Now make a plan of spending and saving. Put aside in savings, insurance, and above all, war bonds, as much of the family income as possible. Today in wartime, buy only what you need. And now, America's favorite mystery writer, Agatha Christie, brings you her world-famous little Belgian detective, Hercule Poirot, in the case of the roving corpse.
Et voilà, my dear Abby. The perfect finish to a perfect nut. The sand. Beautiful, n'est-ce pas? What does it mean, this
Well, to tell you the truth, Chief, I've eaten better. That lettuce is wilted.
Oh, mon Dieu, mon Dieu, mon Dieu. When I invited you to be my secretary and assistant, Abigail, it was because your little gray self had some education. However, after 4 months in my employ, I am forced to conclude that your stomach has none. This salad is called laitue fatiguée.
Lancet.
No, Abby. Weary lettuce. In Europe, I assure you, it is to be obtained only in the finest of restaurants.
Well, it just goes to show you, 50 million Frenchmen can be wrong. I'll still take my lettuce, crisp and crunchy, if you don't mind.
I do not mind. If you choose to remain a barbarian, that is your privilege. But the main course, that you enjoyed, huh? But did you not, Abby?
What? Oh, the shrimps were delicious.
Not shrimps, Abby. Escargot. Snails.
Snails? Good heavens, in the way I wolfed them down, I never even noticed.
Mademoiselle, you are a great disappointment to me. Not to notice snakes. Incredible. Something troubles you, huh? You seem a trifle distray, a little absent-minded.
You notice everything, don't you? As a matter of fact, I am kind of puzzled.
But you do not wish to confide in me.
Well, I don't like to bother you with my little problems. But it is annoying me. Why I keep sticking my neck out, I'll never know.
What did the neck encounter?
A man.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I picked him up in Central Park.
Oh.
He was young and handsome. Light brown hair, gray eyes, about 6'1", broad shoulders.
Mm-hmm. You are not always so observant. Eh bien, what is it about this young man that bothers you?
Well, for one thing, his clothes. You see, his hair was nicely trimmed, his fingernails were well cared for, but he was wearing the dirtiest hobo outfit I ever laid eyes on.
I see. Whereupon you raised the eyebrows.
I did more than that. I went right over and spoke to him. And then I really got a shock.
So?
Out of that tramp came the fanciest English you ever heard.
Yes.
Give me the willies. I can't get over it.
Eh bien, I see you will not be an efficient secretary for Hercule Poirot until this mystery is solved. Very well. You may bring in this gentleman.
What?
You may bring him in, Abby. When I finish Café Noir, I will observe your young man and solve the mystery for you.
But holy jumping codfish, how did you know I had him here?
Very simple, mademoiselle. Here we are in my apartment. All the time you are describing him, your eyes keep wandering to the foyer door.
Yeah?
And throughout luncheon, your ears have been listening to sounds other than those made by me. Bring your man in, Abby. I will talk to him.
I'm telling you right now, Chief, you won't get a thing out of him.
Nevertheless, bring him in.
Okay, Chief. He's all yours. Won't you come in?
Thank you. Come in, young man.
Sit down here, huh?
Thank you, sir.
My name is Hercule Poirot.
How do you do?
And yours?
I beg your pardon.
May I know your name?
I don't know.
What's that?
I don't know my name. I don't remember anything about myself.
Oh, so, amnesia.
You see, Chief, that's why I had to bring him here. I couldn't just leave him on the park bench.
Of course not, Abby. You did well to bring him. Perhaps we can help you.
Do you think you can, sir?
We can pass.
It's no fun being this way. No fun at all.
I'm sure it is not. Tell me, monsieur, how long have you been this way?
Well, I don't know exactly. It seems like a few hours.
Wait, monsieur. Let us commence from the beginning. What is the first thing you remember?
Let me think now. There was a light, a strong light. It was a street light.
Uh-huh.
I was lying under it, looking up.
Were you hurt? Any pain?
No, not pain exactly. I just felt groggy.
Oh.
I pulled myself up and began brushing my clothes. Then I stopped. They looked strange to me.
Come on.
My clothes, I mean.
Oh, boy.
I looked around and realized I didn't know where I was. And then I got panicky. My heart began to pump and I got weak all over. I realized I didn't know who I was, where I came from, or where I belong.
Ah, my poor one. That is a terrible situation in which to find oneself. What did you do?
I began wandering around. I thought I was just stunned for a moment that everything would come back to me. Then I figured I'd look around, perhaps to find something familiar. Find out why I'd come to that place. It was no go.
Oh, you poor man.
I don't know how long I roamed around. Finally, I got tired, terribly tired. I dropped down on that park bench where this kind lady found me.
The name's Abby. Don't you remember anything before that?
No.
Your mother?
Mother. Mother. No, I just get a warm, pleasant feeling, but that's all. Monsieur Poirot, what shall I do? Go to a doctor or to a hospital?
You may have to do that. But it is not urgent. You are quite safe with us for the present. I presume you have gone through all your garments. There is nothing in the pocket, no paper.
Not a thing.
No, I did not expect there would be.
What?
You see, monsieur, those are not your garments. They are much too small. The trousers are old and baggy, but the bags are 2 inches above your knees, and your elbows protrude at the wrong places.
But why should anyone want to change clothes with me?
Maybe you had a nice suit on. Maybe a uniform. A policeman's uniform. That's it, you're a cop. You're closing in on the crooks. Counterfeiters, maybe. Or kidnappers. They conk you on the head and then steal you out.
Abby, you are employing the imagination again. Not the little gray cell.
It's not imagination. It's a woman's intuition. What's wrong with my theory?
Nothing. Except it is only a theory. There are 1,000 theories. For example, the young man is not a gendarme, but a dangerous convict. He escapes from the prison, overcomes a harmless beggar, and exchanges his stifled prison suit for these filthy but honest rags.
Bosh.
Precisely. Eh bien, we have already had too much of the conversation. The time has come for action.
Action?
Mm-hmm. What are you going
to
do?
We are going to retrace the young man's steps. Perhaps when he returns to the exact place from which he started, he will find
what?
Himself. Come, my dear Abby. This is not the moment to admire the irises.
Hmm?
Let us find the bench on which you discovered this unfortunate young man.
Well, it was right around here somewhere. I remember that little playground.
Uh-huh.
And the children shouting.
Well, I still don't understand it. You say you don't remember anything before this morning. But you were perfectly able to read that sign back there.
Well, what is it you do not understand, Abby?
Well, he certainly didn't learn how to read again this morning. That much he remembers from his past.
Oui, amnesia is a strange affair. The victim remembers many things. How to talk, how to read, geography. Where is Paris, monsieur?
France.
You see? Again. Henri Wadsworth
Longfellow.
Voilà.
Gosh, you must be Clifton Federman. Don't you really remember your name? What did the kids used to call you?
I'm afraid it's no use.
Isn't it on the tip of your tongue? Oh, Chief, here it is. He was sitting right here on this bench, looking lonesome as a scarecrow on a deserted farm.
Hey, dear monsieur, now we commence. You will now show us how you arrived here. Did you come from that direction, northward, or from the other direction?
Well, let me see. Oh, yes. I came along that path. I'm sure of that.
Oh. Now we shall pick up the scent like veritable hounds of the blood. Meanwhile, well, we cannot constantly call you monsieur. We must create for you the name.
I've got it. I found him in the park. Let's call him Parker.
Magnifique. Monsieur Parker, let us march. Well, Parker, what say you now? Which way the driver awaits your bidding?
Wait a minute. It'll come to me. I remember standing in front of that drugstore, staring and staring into the mirror. I must have come from around the corner. Turn left, driver. That big building on the right. It's a library, isn't it?
That's what it says.
Good. Straight ahead, driver.
You appear puzzled, Parker.
Well, I don't remember this at all. So many cars and people. We must have gone wrong somewhere. Let's go back to that market.
Bon. And with your permission, we will stop there for just a moment to purchase some magnificent artichokes I observed in the window. Huh?
Well, here we are. Here's the lamppost where it all started. Now what?
Well, I don't know. There's something I can't quite grasp.
Gently, gently, breathe in. Some odor, perhaps.
Yes. Yes, it's coming to me. I seem to remember. Poirot, is there water around here, a lake or...
But of course, monsieur, the river. It is just at the end of the street. Come, you will find yourself yet. I, Hercule Poirot, say it.
No, it's not this way, I'm sure. Back there, I felt closest to it. Back near the wall.
Very good. We will go back.
But there's nothing there, just a dirty little dock.
True, mademoiselle. As you say, a dirty little dock. But it is precisely from such a place that our friend Parker's clothes must have come.
Here's the spot. Right here, that feeling comes over me. The feeling that I've been here before.
But we've looked all around.
Then we must examine the interior.
Where are you going, Chief?
I will only take a glance here among the debris.
Well, be careful. You will mess up your clothes.
Oh, it does not matter. They have already lost the bloom of youth. I have, in fact... Yeah.
Chief, are you all right?
Parker, Abby, come here, please.
What is it, Monsieur Poirot? Have you found something?
Oui, monsieur. Of a certainty, I have found something. Here, behind these barrels. Behold.
Good Lord.
Yes, my dear Abby. The lady is unquestionably dead.
Oh.
This is murder.
Join the waves. It starts off with 6 weeks of boot training. This is followed by an assignment to a Navy base for active duty or to a Navy specialty school for further training. Now, the pay is good, attractive uniforms are provided, and any girl who joins the waves gains invaluable training and experience. So, join the waves.
trail, I find no marks of identification on the body. The purse, it is empty. The label is ripped from the fur jacket. Even the shoes are mutilated.
Jumping codfish, what are we getting into? First, we have Parker, dressed like a hobo. And now we have a corpse, dressed like a million.
Oui?
But both of them have one thing in common, identity unknown.
Nevertheless, my dear Abby, I have a little idea.
Be sure to listen tomorrow when Agatha Christie, America's favorite mystery writer, brings you her world-famous detective, Hercule Poirot, in the second chapter of The Case of the Roving Corpse.